Hello and welcome to Mixed Media. We are a live podcast, and also you can listen to it after the fact, where three of us talk about art in general, both our respective fields of art and also just, you know, art in the modern world in particular, and its role in the modern world and what's going on with it. So today we are doing something different. We've done some episodes where we respond to Reddit, where, you know, we look at people's comments about art and respond to them. Today we're going to be doing something a little bit different, where we actually review works of art that people have submitted to Reddit. So before we get into that, why don't we introduce ourselves? So I'll start. My name is Ben Costello. I'm a flutist and a media composer.
I'm Nathan. I'm a game designer and a 3D modeler.
I'm Irving. I'm a filmmaker and media entrepreneur. I own a company called Ariella. And yeah, I'll be reviewing some films.
All right. So yeah, like I said, we each selected some works of art in our fields to look at and review. A couple of things before we get started. Number one, since we are a live podcast, we want to be really interactive. So if you are listening to us live on YouTube, feel free to, you know, comment on anything we say. Let us know what you think about what we're saying, whether you agree or disagree, although that might be a little more difficult today, because if you haven't seen the works in full that we're referring to. But also just stop by, say hello, let us know if you're watching. All right, so over on your right, on the right of the screen, if you're watching on YouTube, where it currently says welcome, you can write on that whiteboard if you comment and say that you like whiteboard privileges, and one of us will send you link to access that, so you can write something, you know, within reason, obviously, within the limits of decency and appropriateness. You can write that for, it'll be up there for our podcast. Okay.
Yeah, and I see so a lot of people here. Hey, there you go. We've got a shout out to Frida. Shout out to Kieran. I hope I'm pronouncing everyone's names right. Who are in there? I'll be reviewing Kieran's film. Just correct me if I'm saying it wrong. but we're glad to have you guys around as we discuss your stuff. We're going to be 100% respectful. You know, we're here to talk about things that we like to talk about, and encourage everyone to participate in this artistic world. So yeah, what I did was I was on r/ short films, I'm saying it right. That's good. I was in r/ short films, kind of looking around and seeing what was interesting on there. You know, a lot of varying degree of quality on there. But the films that I picked out were, I think, you know, good. You know, they were good films, and I think there's a lot to learn from them, especially, you know, because these people are continuing onwards, making works in the future. I think we can all collectively learn something from them. So yeah, I'm gonna start with Kieran's film, since he's here.
Sick. What was it called again?
This one is called Writer's Block.
Nice. Okay.
I'm not gonna play it back fully. First, I'm gonna sort of step through it. I'm gonna give you a little overview of it, just so you can get an idea of what I'm reviewing. If you are on audio only, it might be a little bit harder for you to, you know, appreciate the film, obviously. But this is gonna be recorded as well. So, or you can hop over to YouTube or Twitch, and we'll be on there as well. Oh, hey, more people. Lots of people tuning in. Hey, that's really great. yeah, so I'm going to review. I'm going to give you a little overview, and then I'm going to step through the parts that I think that are interesting. So here, I'll give you a little sense of how this film opens.
Oh. hell? Ow. I don't like this. We caught my back.
Hurry up, hurry up. Come on, come on. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for this. Where's it
where's it at? Where's the
where's it at?
What zebra is it? God, is there's so many zebras.
It?
No,
that's not it.
No, that's your bobble.
Is that, no, no.
That's not it either.
God,
where's the stuff?
Why is there so many zebras?
FBI, open up!
How long do we have until the bomb goes off?
Approximately 1 minute.
Do we have the supplies to disable it in time?
Yo, Ryder, where's the supplies? This is a life or death situation.
And there's your opening. I'm gonna stop it right there. So you can see your I hate to cut it off there, but really you should check it out. Hey, Kieran, if you could drop a link in the chat for everyone to go ahead and watch it in full so that I don't chop it up with my reaction here. You know, like you should definitely go ahead and watch the whole thing so you can appreciate what I'm gonna talk about. So first of all, I'd like to say that you genuinely got me to laugh the first time I watched this, which for me, I don't laugh very easily. I'm not a comedy person in general. You know, and comedy is a hit or miss sort of thing. So like to get me to laugh, you know, means that you have a good sense of humor. First of all, I think comedy is a lot more about timing than people realize. Everything's about timing. Which means if you're, I don't know if you edited it.
Because doesn't everyone talk about comedic timing? Isn't that like
a comic thing? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That was my whole like 150 page thesis in college was like comedic timing in Shostakovich's music and Zosimov's short stories.
Yeah. No. No, that's true. I guess everyone knows that. But yeah, timing is important. But like, I think with films. I think you have opportunity for timing in like many dimensions, right? So you have timing in the dialogue, you have timing in the action, like what the actors are doing. You have timing in the camera work. This is something that Edgar Wright's really good at. And you have timing in the edit. And I think you've done your editing perfectly in this opening sequence to get me to laugh. You've got that beautiful cutaway to the author almost staring back into his story. I thought that was really funny. And you've also got like that second cut deeper into his eyes. Really gave me a feel for the style and tone that you were going to set up for the rest of the story. So I really love that. And you got me to laugh, which is definitely an accomplishment. And so, yeah, so from here on out, we get this sort of fourth wall break sort of story afterwards. So you got the introduction where there's this, you know, you saw it, you know, the story going on. Hey, writer, what's going on? And the rest of the story is about writer's block, essentially, about overcoming the issue of figuring out what to write next, what happens next after the bomb is ticking, you know? And so this character promptly goes to wikihow.com and figures out, you know, tries to figure out how to, you know, solve their writer's block.
Follow WikiHow. That's a pretty good classic comedy right there.
Realistic.
Exactly. And so after that, you know, tries the different steps to go through. There's this funny sequence with checking in with the other writers in the room who are, I guess, more accomplished than the main character. We got this whole segment with WikiHow trying out the different things, and then we get this. Great moment with this other writer who is talking to him about his plans. He's at this bus stop at a crossroads in life because nothing's worked from WikiHow, of course. Nothing from the internet ever works. and he's going to escape to Switzerland because that was the first place he thought of going to escape his writer's block problem. And this character, in a very magic realism sort of way, tells him that he shouldn't do that, he should start over, and then just sort of disappears, which I thought was really funny as well. and then afterwards, we get the writer recreating the story, and we've come full circle. It's the story that we just saw called Writer's Block, right? beautiful, full circle. If you've been around mixed media recently, I've liked talking about writing a lot, you know, about what the core story is, because I think the thing that people, it's kind of ironic because that's what this movie is about, right? It's about writing. But I think a lot of people who don't have the tools of Hollywood, don't have the resources of Hollywood, the thing they can always do the best that they possibly can is writing, right? Doesn't matter if you have a fancy camera, doesn't matter if you've got great, you know, big name actors or whatever. Doesn't even matter if you've got all your skills down, you know, your personal directing skills, whether it's directing actors, whatever. If your core story is stellar, you've like not just gone through half the battle, you've gone through like maybe 70% of the battle. If your writing is bad, you know, it doesn't matter what you do after that, the story is bad. The story is not engaging. So with that, I think the writing is very good. I really liked the full circle aspect of the story. You know, have a very contained concept. You've really hooked us in with the beginning, but it's not a hook for the purposes of just being a gimmick. It really tied into the rest of the story. You didn't sit down and explain to me the entire universe. You just showed me what happened, the whole show not tell mantra. You know, you showed me that this author was going through writer's block. You didn't have to have the author vocalize, which is a very amateur mistake. Just have the characters vocalize everything they're thinking. And we went through this whole journey caring, you know, ultimately about the character, because everything happened organically. It didn't happen, you know, in a forced way. You weren't trying to get to point B, you know, through any means possible. And I really enjoyed that. Now for critiques, I think that starting from the writing aspect of things, I think if you watch mixed media episode either 17 or 18, I talk about screenwriting. And I think you should watch that, because I think you could have cut a little bit of fat in the story if you had thought about your writing a little bit more precisely in terms of why things were happening. I say that because in the middle, there's a little bit of sag. And I wouldn't say that it's the kind of sag that, like, you know, would immediately, if I wasn't analyzing this film, I don't know that, you know, I would have been like, that's the writing problem that's happening and with the pacing. I think in the middle there, when he's trying all the WikiHow stuff, I don't know that we needed to sit with the character as long as we did. I don't think we needed, there's a couple of shots in here, a couple of edits in here that could have been a little bit tighter. So if we go back here, I'll point out exactly what I mean. We've got this shot here where he's sitting down and he's trying his meditation. If you're trying to meditate or whatever, thinking about life and whatever, daydreaming, you know, I think things like moments like this, if you're going for the comedic length of it, either maybe music could have helped you sell that comedic length of time that he's sitting there, you know, thinking about what he should do next. Either that, or cut the moment down so that we don't lose the audience a little bit with the pacing. I think with short films in general, I think people think, I've got to stretch my story as big as possible because it's already short. I've got to stretch the runtime as long as possible. In fact, I feel like the problem that most short films have is that they don't cut fat enough. You know, just when you're in the editing room, cut down. Especially if your story can handle that, right? So things like this, there's like this long walk sequence here that I don't think that was absolutely necessary for, you know, for the whole thing. And then we have this conversation here, which I think was a little bit long as well. I think there's a little bit too much dialogue back and forth where we could have got the essence of the conversation and maybe like half the lines. But again, I'm saying all this because I think you're doing really good stuff. I can't wait to see what happens if you were to like have, you know, I don't know, like if you had the resources, I'm sure, because like some of these shots and stuff are like very well framed, you know, very, very intentional. I can tell you didn't have like, you know, the fanciest, highest budget camera, but that's not what matters, right? Like you had the core writing, you understood cinematography, and your editing was tight and good. So I really appreciated that. A few technical things. So a few things that I just want to shout you out on. This green screen here is actually pretty good for indie green screen. You know, it like you know, if I wasn't like a filmmaker, maybe I wouldn't have noticed. But I'll give you a fun tip for how to fix that or how to make it a little bit more sellable. I don't know if you did the VFX for it or not. But when things are in focus, you know, when your camera's in focus on something in the foreground, right, the background becomes more blurry, out of focus, right? So right here, your lens on your camera is actually not able to get perfectly sharp. Whereas whoever took the picture of the packages in the background, were that camera that they were using was either higher res or the lens was higher quality, and so the background's perfectly sharp, right? So you could just add a little, if you're in Premiere or whatever you're using to edit, on almost every editor, there's a blur tool. Sometimes there's a camera or a lens blur tool, or a camera blur tool. Just hit that up just a little bit so that it's at least a little bit more blurry than your foreground, and you would sell the effect a lot better. Also, splash. See, there you go. See, Nathan.
But now looking at it, I'm like, all right, I see it now. But before I noticed, no.
There you go. Yeah. But I'm surprised that I didn't see any green tinging around them. So, hey, that's pretty good work. I don't see that very often when people choose to use green screen that, you know, there's no green veiling or, you know, tinges in the hair and stuff like that. So that was pretty good keying. And feel free to comment, by the way, Kieran, about anything that I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Splash some light on some of your subjects. Now, outside, this is difficult, right? You're not going to be able to get power outside. Yeah, so in this shot, you know, when you're outside, it's going to be hard to splash light on your subjects because you don't have a power source, and I doubt you'll have lights. I don't own lights that are powerful enough to compete with the sun as of yet, not meaningfully at least. But you chose a good time of day where it's not so bad. If you want to get easy light sources outside, there's something called Bounce. You might already know what I'm talking about, but just for everyone watching, there's something called Bounce. It's like, you know, it's got like a foily texture on it. I wish I pulled it up or else I would just show it now. And it's just a reflector, right? So there's like usually a matte white side and there's usually like a foil reflective side. And it's cheap to get, you know, it's like, you know, maybe $15 to get like a cheap 5-in-1 set of Bounce/reflectors. And that will help you outside. When you're inside, like when these characters over here, you know, we've got in the picture, you've got lighting in the background where you've got like, you know, a splash on the back shoulder. I don't know if you did that on purpose, but it actually matches the lighting in the picture, which is pretty cool. What you can do to bring the foreground up is there's something called a can light you can get at like Home Depot. That's like $5-$10. I don't know how much they cost these days. The light bulb's actually more expensive, maybe $15-$20 for the light bulb or something like that. Get a nice bright light bulb, put it in a can light, and then what's going to happen is that light is going to be too hard, too harsh for it to light these people properly. It's going to be too beamy in whatever room you're in. But what you can do is you can use that same bounce that I talked about that you can use outside. Take the white side, point the light at the bounce, and then reflect the light so that it bounces off softer and wider onto your subjects so that spreads across everyone more evenly, and that would help you with lighting. I recommend, if you're going to do anything and focus on anything at all, this is my last thoughts on this one. If you're going to do anything at all, the few things that I would recommend you do is focus on your writing, you know, learn writing really well, and write, you know, focus on writing. Focus on next in terms of technical stuff. Don't worry about the camera because I think you understand cinematography well enough and you'll get there with time. I would say focus on learning lighting. It's very difficult. At least it is for me. It's hard to do, especially when you're not doing practical stuff. So if you want to even like, you know, I know you have a YouTube channel. If you want to post like lighting tests on your YouTube channel or stuff like that, where you're taking your can light and you're like bouncing it around or whatever, or you're making like really small, like 1-minute shorts or something like that to help you with lighting, I think that would push everything a lot farther. And then the third and last thing I would focus on in terms of things that will really push you further is audio for sure. So learn audio editing, learn, you know, how to EQ things and all that kind of stuff. It was actually pretty good for a student film. So yeah, that's good. But if you're going to spend money on anything first, you know, any big ticket item, it has to be a good mic versus a good camera. Cause I'd actually rather see this camera continue living on you know, with a good mic paired with it, and immediately your production quality will go up. So yeah, that's all I got to say about this one. I really enjoyed it. Check it out. Yeah, so that's it, Kieran. If you want to stick around, I'm going to be doing another one. So this one is called Apothecary. It's very interesting because when I watched it the first time, I did not realize how it was constructed. But I will leave that for after we watch it together. We're going to watch the whole thing because it's 3 minutes long. We're going to watch it together, and I'll leave it to you guys to see if you can guess how this thing was constructed. Do-do-do. There we are.
Apothecary is one word for a medical professional who formulates and dispenses medicine to physicians, surgeons, and patients. My profession can be dated back to at least 2600 BC, to ancient Babylon. It's funny how theologians and historians sometimes describe people of the past as being barbaric and less evolved. More than 800 prescriptions or ancient recipes for the apothecaries of the time, and over 700 different drugs, were found dated 1500 BC in ancient Egypt. You see, there's only a few of us that are like this. We do not age. We found the magic of youth centuries ago, but we can't release this to emerging civilizations, due to the basic human nature of greed and hate. Just imagine if everyone took this drug. We found it by accident and experimented on ourselves. The initial plan was to find a healing formulation, but then this happened. We can only stay in one place for 10 years, then we have to move on, so to not be discovered. When you find out what our purpose really is, you will lose your mind. Humans will find out soon though. It's just a matter of time, when they're evolved enough to understand. We are now in 2021. We are now the modern chemists taking over our previous roles. I wonder what our names will be in a century.
All right, there we are. There's the film. So thoughts, guys? Thoughts about perhaps how it might have been constructed?
I'm honestly a little bit at like a loss. I'm not sure I understood what I just watched, honestly.
Yes.
So the thing that like really got me is I went looking around on this person's channel to see what else they've created. The thing that really struck me when I first watched is the footage is absolutely gorgeous. Like, you know,
that definitely stands out. Yes.
It's absolutely beautiful. I don't know if the director or producer, I invited them on. I'm not sure if they're on and haven't introduced themselves, but if you are here, please let us know. Cause I would love to know the answer to a few questions I have about how this was made. But the footage is absolutely gorgeous. Looks like it might either be one of the Blackmagic cameras, from the looks of it, or maybe even an Ari. And everything is done so beautifully, you know, in terms of its aesthetic, going from, you know, this beautiful composition here where he decided to, letterbox the picture a little bit and cut it down to this vertical format. I don't think I've ever once complimented anyone doing anything vertically, except this looks really good. So that's a really big compliment. You know, we've got, you know, these outfits, this lady's outfit over here. It's beautifully period. The surroundings, the color palette, everything matches. You got this beautiful warm light, you know, just absolutely gorgeous. You're probably not getting it if you're on the stream because it's compressed to death. But, you know, this, you know, look up this short film, it was called Apothecary, and you'll see what I mean. Now, the thing that got me was like, one, this title here. This title here is interesting. The title font is interesting. I don't think much effort went to putting this title together. If I was using a simple font like this, I would have at least made it all caps so the wonkiness of the font wasn't so apparent. In terms of like, you know, it doesn't look very cinematic or, you know, particularly interesting the way it is right now. And the other thing was the music is extremely repetitive, and just it's on a loop basically. So I poked around this person's channel, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think the way this person put together this short film is that they contracted out a studio to put together the images. The channel's called Bedtime Stories. So I think the idea is that they're putting together these little like you know, short audio stories, basically, and they're complementing the audio story with, you know, visuals, and they're contracting out to the studio. I originally thought maybe this might have been from, like, some crazy stock footage set that, you know, I don't even know where you find this kind of stuff, but I don't think that's the case after looking at the rest of their stuff on the channel. I think they actually do work with a filmmaker's studio or something like that. They actually shouted them out in one of the descriptions of their films. So that's a very interesting way to put together a film. So, absolutely nuts, beautiful images coming off the screen, leaping off the screen. So, what are we left with other than the visuals? Because I have nothing to say about the visuals. Absolutely beautiful. We've got the editing, we've got the writing, and we've got the voiceover work. You know, I don't have anything to say about the acting either. Acting is perfect. So, what do I have to say about those things? The concept, did you guys get the concept of what was going on? Like, the world that was being set up, basically?
I think so.
Yeah, you know. You know, these fictitious, you know, apothecaries who have figured out the serum of life, essentially, and now they live on forever, continuing to serve, I guess, people in what capacity is not sure. Very interesting concept to pair with the images that we're seeing. And the thing that I really, really got to me, and I was just like, man, there was such a big opportunity with this film that I think was missed. And I don't know that this person's necessarily trying to make a web series or something like that. It'd be interesting to know what the long-term goals were, because on the Reddit, this person said thumbs are, you know, upvote if you want to see more of this story, this particular story. But if you wanted to go that route and you wanted this to be the teaser into something that was more long form, then I think this could have been more teasy than it was. In fact, even though this was 3 minutes and 19 seconds, I think you could have cut this down to 2 minutes and everything would have been a lot snappier. And I've talked again about in the mixed media episode that I referenced earlier, the screenwriting episode, you can look it up on our channel, did it recently. But tension is sort of the lifeblood of cinema. So you don't want to give any of it away if possible, especially in a teaser. You know, you want me to be on the edge of my seat. So I think trimming it down, especially the first third, I feel like, you know, the visuals were so compelling that I was sort of entranced by that. But I also think we could have cut down that section a little bit. And then when we get you start to get this feeling with the dialogue in the background, the voiceover work, you start to get this feeling that something, okay, this is not just explaining, you know, the history of apothecaries. That's not what this is all about. There's some setup going on. What I think this should have been is it should have been the moment that you start to realize that there's a larger concept going on, that there's a larger concept essentially being pitched to you, is the moment the voiceover should have ended. This, I think, suffered from sort of like an anime-ism where you get into like the weeds of explaining like the nitty-gritty of everything that's going on when it's like we're not even going to get the full story, right? So why not just leave us hanging in every way possible, but give us just enough to string us along to the end and make me hit that subscribe button, because I can't not know what this whole world is about, right? So I'll give you a specific thing here, and this has to do with the edit too. You know, this shot, I love this shot. The shot with the push in, and they've all of a sudden switched a tire and everything has been modernized. You get this sort of rehoused look of the set where it's gone from old-timey to a repurposed old-timey. You know, I love that decision. Very great. That edit going to this could have hit like a freight train, you know, if you had cut the voiceover so that we don't know exactly and we have to see. So it's the show not tell problem, right? So we have to look and see and decipher what the heck is going on. What you just said, the serum of life. What does that mean? And now we're watching, you know what I mean? And the visuals are very compelling. So I'm going to be hooked, you know, until we get maybe a little splash of dialogue again or whatever it is that, or, you know, maybe the music I think would have really done really well to have been to have climaxed here, you know, with this shot. And here you would have had this reveal of, oh, right. You get that like sort of like double take of like the, oh, this is setting up a universe where these people are still alive, you know, and they're working in the modern world and they look like a regular old doctor, right? Yeah, it's got the imagination going. And so I thought this was a really good one to learn from because it was so visually compelling. I had nothing to say about the technical, but I thought it was a really interesting look because it shows you the importance of very intentional writing. And I think because this person made it in the way they did, I think they wrote their voiceover, they received the footage, and they put them together. Sometimes when you put things together, you can realize new things, and that's where editing is a whole art of its own, right? That's why you have, you know, usually a separate editor who is very differently minded about how they approach the things they receive. So when an editor receives their stuff, they don't typically, you know, they don't just take it. Well, it depends. You know, some people are kind of strong-armed into doing exactly what they're supposed to do, you know, just reproducing the script. But an editor will take all the stuff they've been given and say, how do I make the director's vision that much more potent, you know, through the way I can see this story from a disinterested perspective? And I think if you were going to do this again, and you have done this again, with these sort of concept works, when you receive that footage and you receive the, and you want to, you know, you've done your voiceover work, don't just put them together. Rethink about it again and say, can I trim some fat here? But not only can I trim some fat, is there any way where I can increase the tension by giving less information? You know, this is a teaser after all. And other than that, I think it's pretty good. Oh, and yeah, definitely the music. I don't know what your budget's like. I don't know how your arrangements work with how things work. But if I would, this imagery is like OP, overpowered compared to the music, right? And that imbalance is very odd. So, you know, hire Ben. or I don't know, hire a composer to, if you've got the budget and you're really trying to get this bedtime stories concept to really take off, if you're intending this to really be bedtime stories, you know, for some people, or to be the lead off of concepts that you want to pitch to a studio, hire a composer and put that investment in and maybe spend a little bit less on the visuals. The everything else, you know, you can do from your chair as writer, editor, director, however your arrangement works. But really the music, I think, needs to be upgraded substantially.
My impression of it, honestly, I feel like that's the kind of music that accompanies, like, look, like I'm in an aquarium and I'm looking at like the fish swim by.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like it, you know, the tone was okay, you know, at the beginning. I was like, okay, this works. It didn't really call attention to itself until it repeated too many times. Then that's when I was like, okay, no, this doesn't work. I might even recognize where it comes from. It might come from Filmstro.
Oh no.
Which is a platform where you can actually change it. Like, it's like a dynamic, like, you know, it has this programmatic feature where you can like programmatically increase like certain aspects of the score. I don't really know how it works. And I used to use Filmstro, for YouTube stuff because, you know, you can't spend thousands of dollars per YouTube video, obviously. But if Filmstro is what you're using, then at least vary what you're doing in Filmstro. And I think if you're spending this much money on the imagery, and this looks very expensive, I think you can spend money on the music and just actually get something recorded. I think that's pretty much it for me.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, no, that was fun. We're definitely going to do this again. I think that's a pretty much a guarantee. Maybe play with the format or whatever. Who knows what?
Yeah, but maybe like, do like one each instead of two.
Right, exactly. But it was the first time we did this. So we had no idea how long it would be. But I mean, we had people stick around, which is like, I mean, you guys are awesome. And so if you want to be alerted when we come back live, hit the subscribe button if you're on YouTube. Follow us if you're on Twitch. We post all this stuff literally everywhere we can. But if you like what you're seeing and you like what you're watching, hit the like button. We need nothing more than encouragement, you know, more than anything else. We would like to, and we would love to have a community that's constantly having conversations about, you know, any kind of art at all, you know, even arts that we don't, you know, understand or, you know, delve into. I would love to get into, you know,
painting.
Yeah, I was literally gonna say that. Like, you know, I would love to understand the minds of painters and all that kind of stuff. So hit us up on Discord, link in the description.
If you want to talk about dancing too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ballet is something I look at and it's like, it's so interesting, but I can't understand it other than the musical portion of it.
Yeah. So like, there you go. Like, we would really love to have arts conversations. You know, if you're you know, watching this or in post or listening in post or whatever, we appreciate you. And we'd love to hear what you'd want us to do in the future. If you want us to continue doing stuff like this, whatever topics you want us to cover. In fact, the best way to reach us at any given time is on Discord. There you can continue the conversation. You can tell us what you like, didn't like about the stuff that you saw today, or submit your own work in the future. But if you choose to support us, you like what we're doing, I would be overjoyed. I wouldn't even know what I would say if someone gave us $1 a month. I think I would cry. just the act, the gesture is so out of my mind. Cool. So I guess I'll say thank you so much for watching. We appreciate you stopping by, and we'll be back next week for another episode of Mixed Media Live. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for watching. See you next time.